So our scripture is from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with the 14th verse. And Paul writes, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, this morning may the words of my mouth, indeed may the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As I said, this is the second of the two great prayers that Paul prayed for the church and for all the churches that would read this book of Ephesians. The first one we spent a couple of weeks on is found over in chapter 1, and then this one we'll spend this week and next on that. I finally was able to watch the live stream from last Sunday because I wasn't here, and so I got to listen to Pastor Joshua's reminder from his sermon last week that, you know, sometimes our prayers are a little bit more like a to-do list for God. But that Paul, in his prayers, invites us into a deeper prayer, a prayer that changes us. Like the boy Samuel in the temple when he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Or like we are changed by the prayer that we're praying together, "Lord, what do you want to do through me?" Because in those kinds of prayers, we make ourselves open to God's leading in every part of our life. Last week, the reason I wasn't here is I was preaching at St. John's United Methodist Church in Texas City as they celebrated their 60th anniversary. St. John's, Texas City was my first solo pastor position. After spending many years as an associate, that was my first church that I pastored. And the text that I preached last week was this one from Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. As a matter of fact, that text, that prayer, that was the text that I used on my very first Sunday at Texas City at St. John's back in 2005. It was the same text that I used, the same prayer, when I left St. John's in 2009. It was the same text that I used when I began at Deer Park United Methodist Church. It's the same text, the same prayer that I used on my very first Sunday here at Atascocita United Methodist Church in 2015. Because this is my prayer for God's church everywhere, and most especially it's my prayer for any church that I'm going to be serving. Because it describes the church that I want to be a part of, and that I think people everywhere who are searching for meaning and purpose and searching for God, I think it describes the kind of church that they want to be a part of as well. These magnificent words that Paul uses, that a church where people are being strengthened in your inner being with power through God's Holy Spirit. A church where people have Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. A church where the people are being rooted and grounded in love. A church where the worshipers are getting the power of the comprehension of the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. A church where people are filled with all the fullness of God. Wow, that describes the church I want to be a part of. What about you? Amen. Yes, some of you catch on pretty fast. That describes the kind of church that I would like to be a part of. What about you?
Amen.
Okay, there you go. Now, I want you to notice the things that Paul did not pray for in this prayer for the Ephesians. Here's the thing that Paul didn't pray for. He didn't pray for a gathering place for nice people to come and meet other nice people. He didn't pray that. He didn't pray for the power of a community where everyone believes the same social and political way that I do. He doesn't pray for the temperature to always be right, for the sermons to not be too long, and for really professional music that I like that day. And you know what? He didn't even pray for God's Spirit to touch people with just enough of the Spirit that they feel good, but not too much that they feel challenged. He didn't pray that either. How anemic those prayers sound compared to the prayer that Paul does pray. Because a nice place to gather with friends, to have an experience of a Hallmark kind of a God who makes us feel good about our life exactly the way that it is. Friends, that's not a real church helping real people with real issues to encounter a real God who invites us on a real journey of faith, some of which does feel great, and some of which challenges our own self-absorption and our views of what God is about and what he's up to in the world. To make a real change in our spiritual DNA, leading us to live real lives of real faith in a real world that makes a real difference to others and who invites other real people to make this real journey alongside of us. The church that Paul prays for us, is a church that is filled with power from the Holy Spirit. It is a church where people are strengthened from the inside out as people give their whole hearts to Christ through faith and are a living embodiment of the love of Christ for everyone and are dedicated to helping others become rooted and grounded in that love that is greater than any kind of knowledge about Jesus, because it's the people are devoted to knowing Jesus and not just knowing about Jesus. That, friends, is a church where lives are changed. That is a church where worshipers find a place to serve and serve out of a sense of deep gratitude, not out of obligation. That's a church where worshipers find a way to give, and they give of their time and their resources out of their love of Christ who rescued them and their love of God who has claimed them as God's children. Not because the church needs to receive, but because followers of Christ need to give. That is a church that shows radical hospitality, not because it is a program, but because it is a lifestyle. That is a church where children are valued and they are taught the love of God that surpasses knowledge through things like our investment in our weekday learning center families, through our partnerships with schools, through Sunday morning and midweek and all during the week programming. That is a church where the most vulnerable, the frail, the homebound, the broken, the divorced, the abused, the addict, the poor, the sick, they're not looked past. They are warmly embraced because, friends, those are the people that Jesus embraced. And friends, at our best, that is our church. There are real lives that are changed every single day because Atascocita United Methodist Church exists. And because we choose to live out our life together, rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, strengthened through the power of the Holy Spirit, proclaiming and learning and living the fullness of God found through Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to show you a video of real lives of folks who come to this church whose lives have been changed through Christ, by this church, through their silent cardboard testimonies. I invite you to take a look. Friends, lives are changed as we individually and collectively offer ourselves up to God through this church, praying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," or, "Lord, what do you want to do through me?" And it's out of our desire to be the church that God asks us and empowers us to be. That's the reason that we're engaging in this whole Imagine What's Ahead debt elimination campaign. The truth is, ministry requires material resources, and eliminating our debt will free up those resources to be the church, to change lives forever. This morning, I invite you to join with us to step out in faith, and that ministry list that you got in your bulletin this morning, if you haven't already, to check off at least one of those ministries that you would be interested in getting more information about, and maybe even trying it on for size. Put it in the offering plate as that comes by here in just a bit. I invite you to continue to pray the prayer, "Lord, what do you want to do through me?" I invite you to come back next week as we celebrate and worship, and then, of course, as we eat together. And for those who are our guests this morning, or you've been visiting for a good while, if this is the church that you want to join in order to become more rooted and grounded in love and be committed to helping others do the same, you know what? On the comments part of that same ministry sheet, you can just handwrite, "Interested in joining." And you know what? It'll be a miracle. It's magic. Pastor Joshua or I will contact you if you write that on there. And now to him who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forevermore. Amen.